The ones that was hating won't jump on the track. Wondering if grandma is resting every show I'm bringing her back. Breaking the ground, but there is no real way to brace for impact.
Vocalo Radio 91.1 FM, Chicago's only urban alternative. Nudia in the afternoon here with you. We have a special guest in the studio with us, Roy Kinsey. Hello.
Hello, what's up?
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, the funny thing is, before you were coming in, because I know we have a bunch of your music in the system, I was looking. We have music from 2013 from you in here. Like, we have so much music. Like, I mean, that's so many years ago.
Yeah.
That it's really crazy. I feel like you've been a friend of Vocalo for a very long time.
I have. Vocalo has been supporting me in a big way for a long time. That's, you know, stuff from my first album. Jesse Menendez was a really, really big supporter of mine and would bring me up in the early days of, like, Keep the Receipts, Rookie of the Year, you know, my earlier albums. And so, you know, it's beautiful to be here celebrating a new thing and a new chapter. But, yeah, I've been here a bunch of times and have mad love for Vocalo, for sure.
This is such an exciting time for you right now. There's a lot of really cool things going on, I feel. For people that don't know, you are a rapper and a librarian. Yeah. How do those two things happen?
Yeah, I think it's just been my life's work, and I'm really starting to see it kind of merge and come to fruition. When I was attaining my MLIS 2017, I was taking a storytelling class, and I was playing around with the Rapbrarian and kind of like putting them together. You know, I was questioning myself, like, is that corny? Is that corny? Is that cool? And, you know, the answer to me now, obviously, is that it's cool. But it was these worlds that I was trying to kind of keep apart. I realized when I opened my eyes that they were informing one another. And I was always saying that it was the words, me being around stories was informing the storytelling. But I also kind of realized that being in libraries and being in these spaces kept me safe, right? I was in a library space, and that was keeping me off of the streets. That was keeping me occupied. That was keeping me writing. I was bothering librarians for paper and pens and, like, magazines, things like that. So I really, really appreciate what a library can be. And then, you know, you get to the stories, you get to the possibilities of being able to escape in a book, to escape in words and language. And so I think being able to start the Rapbrary, I'm really leaning into my work as a librarian, my work as a community activist and as an artist.
I was going to say, I feel like growing up, everyone has that in them, right? When we're in elementary school, you like book trips or buying books. And then I feel like as you slowly get older, you kind of get away from the library and the magic that you love about the library. With Rapbrary, could you tell us a little bit more about it?
Sure.
Because I love how you said you try to keep the two worlds separate.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's just easier to create like this beautiful thing and fully be yourself, right?
Yeah. I mean, you got to sometimes get out of your own way, right? A lot of times it's literally right in front of us. And I think what I kind of want to say, and I want to say it properly, I want to articulate this properly. I think coming up in a time when rap was extremely competitive during the blog era, I had limited myself in a lot of ways of being, you know, you want to kind of fit into what
other people
are popular, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I've always been different. I've always embraced that uniqueness as well. But I think that we still kind of wanted a street cred, you know, so I wasn't necessarily talking about my scholarship. I wasn't necessarily talking about the fact that I've like loved learning from the beginning, and that my head was in a book from the beginning. Those were things that I kind of like left behind. But if anybody listens to a great rapper and a great storyteller, you can tell who you can tell who's reading. You can tell who, you know. And so I think when I began to kind of like embrace those things, it really just kind of like made more sense, and more doors kind of like started opening again. Had to kind of get out of my own way and understand what my strength and what my purpose was. And so when you ask about what Rapbrary is, being a person that has been shaped by hip hop culture and by art, first of all, it's a gift to the community of hip hop, into the culture of hip hop, because I want to preserve hip hop. I want people to understand and respect hip hop as a literary art form. So I want people to look at the storytellers, the rappers, as authors, and I want to look at albums and explore albums as books. And so that's one of the ways that I think that we can preserve rap and hip hop as a culture. And then I want it to be a book sanctuary as well, where in the year of 2024, we've had 48 out of 50 states to try to challenge and ban books. Now, in Illinois, we have banning books. So Alexi Janulia said, no, we're not doing that here. And if you do that, your library will lose funding, thank God. But we're not banning books here. And to the contrary, we are keeping them safe and accessible because our authors and our stories are important. And again, in this political season, right, where we're choosing a new leader for our nation, it's really important that we understand what our history and our legacy and our heritage was. And there are threats. There are people trying to tell us that the history that we know happened didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And so we need our storytellers to remain safe, and we need our books to remain safe as well.
So for the mission of Rapbrary, that is so important and topical right now in 2024, what kind of plans do you have for the future? It really seems like there's so many things that you could do with this, you know?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, if people didn't know, I've been a librarian for Chicago Public Libraries for the past 12 or 13 years. I've been practically born and raised in libraries, and a lot of programming and events that I've spearheaded there, whether it be free yoga for the community or a Pride Fest over the summer, just so many different things as far as like getting the community together and serving the community and what the community needs. This December, I am planning to have our Sorry We're Open house. So it'll be the first
I
look.
I love that merch, by the way. I was I told the team I saw that shirt, and I was like, this is really cool.
Thank you. Thank you. Shout out to Uriel. That is the person that has been designing a lot of, you know, he and I together. He does incredible brand identity. So, you know, shout out to Uriel. But yeah, we're going to have an open house just to have people to kind of come in and see the space. Eventually, we want to be a library where people can come out. You know, we want to have a circulation system. People can check out items. We also want to be a bookseller. We want to do book drives. So we're going to do a book drive this winter. We'll see what is happening in the future. I have a long list of a lot of different ideas and things that we kind of want to bring. One of the main ones is being a production house, right? And kind of mentoring younger storytellers to become better storytellers and to find out what their medium is and how they want to, you know, deliver their story, how they want to know their story, how literature can kind of help their story. That's a thing that I've been always wanting to do. Even when I was and am still at the library doing rap writing workshops called the Rapbrary and book clubs. So I want to continue all of that work that I've started with Chicago Public Libraries and Rapbrary. And yeah, please join our book club. It's called the Reading Came First Book Club. And
oh my gosh, I love that.
yeah. It's called the Reading Came First Book Club. And so our next meeting is actually this Sunday. Some partners of mine are The Closet Unlocked and Nobody's Darling Bar in Andersonville. And so we've been doing some really incredible things, and we're, you know, going to continue to.
When I was trying to like find the line between rapper and librarian, because you've made so much great music. Of course, we have it here in our system. So it does seem like you're doing a lot of things, but I was like, rapper, librarian, I guess in all, would you call yourself a storyteller? Is that what you really feel like your purpose is?
Of course, yeah, in a lot of ways, right? One of the more important parts, I believe, that and why I'm so drawn to hip-hop and love it so much and care for it so much is because there was a time when I really started looking and being a part of music when my parents would put on music for me, late 80s, early 90s, and even studying, you know, certain rappers and people of hip-hop like a Chuck D and Public Enemy. Those were our first kind of like black intellectuals that were bridging the gap after the civil rights movement in a time where we really, really needed to understand and have mentors. To have somebody speaking to the younger generation was important. You know, Chuck D would say hip hop is the black man CNN. And so it was kind of like giving voice to the voiceless, empowering as well. I kind of look at it in a lot of ways like that. Like, all right, well, I'm going to kind of try to deliver not only these messages, but this wisdom. And so, you know, my next album is coming out and it's called A Legacy Project. And I was really kind of thinking about what is the legacy that you want to leave? And when you aren't necessarily always kind of like leaving behind an inheritance or a trust, like what is it that you can leave behind? And being, you know, somebody who is a black man and understanding that we've left down and passed down stories and lessons as oral storytelling, that has always been our legacy. And so I'm continuing in that, right? I'm continuing in telling the cautionary tale and kind of trying to like plant those seeds that rappers have kind of like left for me. I learned a lot from rap. I learned a lot of what not to do and what to do, you know, mm-hmm. from some of the songs that I kind of listened to. And so I would love for that to be part of my legacy, along with then building a library.
No, I was actually, before you said that you're going to be releasing new music and an album soon, you know, seeing everything you've done, I was like, oh, like the rap is probably taking a back seat right now. Mm. But so everything right now is like at 100 with you, like oh, your projects. God. Like it seems like you are not like letting go of the gas at all.
Nah.
There's so many great media out there on you, like so many articles. And I was looking through all of them, and a lot of them definitely highlight you as a queer rapper, artist, a black man. Mm-hmm. I mean, it does seem like there's kind of this heavy role model role on you. Do you ever feel that way?
No, never. I never feel that way. And I think that there has been times where it's been challenging to kind of be in the public eye, but I've always been pretty rebellious for my authenticity. And so there's a lot there, but I'm just kind of always really being myself and understanding what it is that I'm supposed to do. And I think that that's the thing that I learned in libraries is that we are whole people. Right. We are whole people that contains a queerness or an unapologetic sexuality. You can be implored by pleasure. You can be literary. You can be yourself. You can be into astrology. Right. Like that's what I love about being specifically in that space, because I took a book here and added that to my personality and my identity. I took that, you know, another book and added that to my, it really is a practice in building yourself. And so if people look at and are inspired by anything that I'm doing, that is the point, right? Because ultimately we're libraries, right? I understand that the work is larger than me. I understand that I'm here to serve. And that was something that I really, really understood during COVID. It was in that time that I seen people return to their favorite films. They return to their favorite shows. They return to their favorite books. They return to their favorite albums. And I'm like, oh, okay. So now we agree that art is one of the most important things that we should be investing in. We should be investing in artists. And as an artist, from an artist standpoint, I really, truly, truly understood that, oh, this is the time where people need a word. This is the time where people need some comfort for their humanity. So, yeah, I just truly understood my role as an artist, and it was like, all right, you're here to serve. I know we made it look cute for so long, is what you can get, but now it's what you can give.
I love the authenticity. I can definitely feel it. I feel the vibes, you know? And you have the Chicago Public Awards.
Yes,
right?
I do.
You're going to be there with Chance, opening for Chance?
Yeah, I'll be there opening for Chance. Chance is going to be getting an award along with Ann Patchett and another author, forgive me. But yeah, I'm honored, right? That's a full circle moment in and of itself, me being a person that started working in U-Media with Brother Mike and never really met Chance, but knew that really beautiful things were kind of coming out of there. And being a teaching artist back then, it's just a full circle moment that I get to perform right before he's, you know, getting his award. It's cool.
That's so exciting. What time, is that open to the public? Can anyone pull up or?
I think so. I don't know. I'm not sure. But it is Wednesday, October 30th at 7, UIC Pavilion.
It's going to be a good time. Yeah, you're going to perform. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit, whatever you can, about this new music coming out. What kind of inspiration were you pulling from here?
Mm-hmm. Again, just kind of like leaning into, so the album is called A West Side Story, A Legacy Project. My family grew up on the West Side, you know, when they came from Mississippi as part of the Great Migration. We grew up on the West Side as well. And then I worked serving the West Side on Chicago Avenue in Kedzie at the Richard M. Daley branch for the past 13, 14 years, and really kind of understanding and I had a lot of questions. It's kind of how I approach a lot of the art that I'm making, is I'm either answering questions about myself or my surroundings. And I was very curious about the lack of documentation on the West Side. And I felt like compared to other parts of the city, I feel like the South Side has a very rich documented history. I feel like the North Side does as well. I was wondering what's up with the West Side. And so I started doing some research, as I do for my albums, The Rap Brand, The Rap Brand. And I just kind of started looking into what happened and where did the disinvestment come from and when did that happen. I really started thinking about Dr. King during Dr. King's assassination and when people fled these places and kind of what was left. And so that was part of it. And the other part was, again, trying to like leave a legacy. So more than my other records, I believe that this one is heavier in the storytelling, heavier in, I think, the message that I kind of want to leave behind and the questions that I kind of just wanted to ask. And so the song that I'll be premiering with you guys is called West Side, and it just includes some topics. You'll hear it.
If you're just tuning in, we have Roy Kinsey in here with us. We're talking all things Rap Brary. We're talking about you performing at the Chicago Public Library Awards and your new album coming up. And we want to get to this new single. But first, tell everyone where they could find more information on Rap Brary. Mm-hmm. You know, I know you have some events coming up in December, right?
Yeah, definitely. Our website, therapbrary.com, RAPBRARY.com. You can find out a lot of information there. You can follow us on Instagram at RapBrary, spelled the same way. And I'm, you know, constantly updating those things. And, you know, we just have some really, really incredible things happening next year, like a new album, as well as a little book. A little book that I'm publishing. It's my first one, not the last, and it'll be a collection of some of my lyrics over the past 5 or 6 years that is like really important. It's called Dandelions, A Legacy Project.
I love that, because sometimes when you're listening to a great song, mm-hmm. you might not be in the space to fully get the message.
Yeah.
So I kind of love the afterthought of like, here's exactly like what I was saying that you might have missed because you were jamming out to the song.
Yeah.
So
it's a project that I've been thinking about and working on for a really long time. But as a person that kind of like loves to see the words on a page, I thought it was something that was just kind of, you know, a natural evolution for myself, my music, and everything I'm doing with the Rap Brary.
Let's go ahead and have you. We'll leave off with you introducing this new single.
Yeah, this is the first song off of the new album. The first single was called West Side from A West Side Story, A Legacy Project.
This segment was hosted and produced by Nudia Hernandez. It was edited by Morgan Sioka. Keep up with Vocalo on Instagram, X, and Facebook at Vocalo, and on TikTok at vocalo.radio.